My style of teaching is a little different. I'm not a lecturer, so I'm going to depend a lot on all of you to participate this morning. So looking forward to your involvement in the class today. So, okay, we are ready to go here. So again, welcome and happy 4th of July. Do they have a 4th of July in the Philippines? Yes, they do. Finish the story, Chris.
They don't celebrate.
They don't celebrate it. Okay, all right. That's right. Well, we celebrate it here, don't we? And so happy 4th of July to all of you. And we live in a great country, even though we complain and scold and grumble and so forth. We live in a wonderful country. So just a reason for rejoicing this morning. Okay. How many of you have something you really look forward to? I'd like you to think about something like that. Maybe it's a hot day and you can jump into a cold swimming pool. Or maybe it's a favorite meal at a favorite restaurant. So think of something that you really look forward to, something that's a real treat. Also, I'd like you to think about something that you wish you had advice about. Okay? Is there something in your life where you're thinking, wow, I wish I could ask somebody what I should do in this situation? Because I face that a lot. I wish I could, my father was still alive, I could ask him some things about this and that. So think about something that you would really look forward to, a real treat, and then also think about something that you would really love to have some good counsel on. Okay, so you got something in mind? Here's what Psalms 119:24 says. Thy testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. So oftentimes we look for things as far as our delight or counsel, maybe from the world or wherever. God's word says, my law, my testimonies, my commandments. This psalmist said, those are my delight. Those are my delight. They are my counselors. So the psalmist didn't go any further than God's word and God's commandments and God's law to find counsel to go through life. So we're looking today at God's word. We're looking at specifically the law. Here's our theme for what we call the story. This is the name of our class, the story, not a series or a jumble of stories or a collection of stories, but the stories. And here is what Luke recorded in Luke 24. And you're familiar with it, but I'd like to read it. I'd like to start out that way. So if you recall, on the road to Emmaus, a couple men were traveling after Jesus had been crucified, pretty down in the mouth. And Jesus joined up with them and struck up a conversation. And it says in Luke 24:27, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them, he meaning Jesus, explained to them, the two men, the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So our theme of this particular class is the story, how all the scriptures pertain to Christ, point to Christ, explain Christ. Let me go ahead and read a little further here, because this is fun. This is a fun passage. Concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though, Jesus, as though he would go further. And they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. And he went in to stay with them. And it came about when he had inclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? So think about times when you've had your heart really burning. That doesn't happen that often. These men said that, was not our hearts burning within us while he explained the scriptures to us? So let's think in terms of the scriptures and in terms of how they can actually create joy, thrill, a burning sensation within us. Okay, so that is our theme. How does all the scriptures fit together to point to Jesus as one complete story? That's what we want to gain from our time this morning and all this summer. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and speak to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we'll be referring to today. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our time this morning, and we are focusing on your Son. Thank you for sending your Son to us, and he explained you to us. He revealed you to us. He was your exact likeness. If we had any question about what you're like, we can look at Jesus and have the perfect illustration. So thank you for who you are. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that your purpose for sending him was to redeem the world, to help us understand you, to have right fellowship with you. And so this morning, as we gather as a congregation, we want to boast not in ourselves or in our knowledge or in our state of life, but we want to boast in Christ. And we want to feature him. We want to focus on him this morning. And so help us to do that. Holy Spirit, would you be active in pricking our consciences, revealing, encouraging, urging us to follow Christ. Thank you again for our time this morning, and we pray and commit the time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, a little bit later, Pastor Phil will preach on 1 Corinthians, where we're not to boast in ourselves, we're to boast in Christ. So looking forward already to that. All right, if you've been with us, we have talked about some key words, creation, fall, redemption, restoration, when we talk about the whole Bible as a whole. Donna and I had the privilege of going to the Creation Museum in March, and here's how they summarized the Bible, the story. They used the letter C. So creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. So there's different ways that you can kind of summarize God's word, and that's what we want to do. We're trekking our way now through the word, and last week Luke took us through basically the Abrahamic covenant. So here's some summary things from what Luke has been teaching. God chose one man and his family to build a nation that would eventually bless all the nations of the world. And who was that man? Abraham. Good. He specifically made a covenant with Abraham to bring about the fulfillment of the promise, which would solve the problem of the nations continually rejecting God. So that kind of summarizes Genesis 1 through 11. We saw the creation, the corruption, the catastrophe, the confusion that was created as a result. This nation that God made a covenant with Abraham would be in the land of Canaan and would grow from Abraham's own ancestral line, which was Isaac. And then Abraham's own righteousness, this is important, Abraham's own righteousness was based on faith on this promise, not on personal righteousness or his own efforts. So that's important for us to know. We are not acceptable to God based on our good works, our so-called good works, or all of our efforts. It's based on His righteousness and His alone. Okay. Well, we want to warm up with a little exercise here. And what Luke has been doing is taking us through the walk through the story, the timeline. I am not going to do the entire, however many there are, but I would like us to focus on Moses. We're going to talk today about the covenant that God made with Moses. And again, if you have not picked up a handout, I hope I made enough for everyone. But we have a handout here that we'll use later. And if there's some left on the podium, you'll want to grab one of those at least with your group. Okay, so I am going to start the phrase, and I'd like you to answer it. I'm going to pick up here where it says Joseph dies, new Pharaoh takes over, and we have how many years of Egyptian captivity? 400 years. Then God raised up a deliverer, Moses. Pharaoh won't let the Israelites go, so God brings about three plagues for three reasons: to convince Pharaoh, to convince Israel, and to put down the Egyptian gods. Good. Moses then leads them out across what sea? Red Sea. They take a hard right to Mount Sinai, good, where God gives them the law. We're going to look at that today. There are three divisions of the law: civil, ceremonial, and moral. Good. The first principles of the law are called Ten Commandments. Good. How many laws are there altogether? And God makes a covenant with them: obey and be disobey and be cursed. All right. They say they will obey, so Moses leads them across the wilderness to what town? All right. I'll stop there. We have more within the list, but we really want to focus now on the law. Who would like to share with us the first five books of the Bible which are considered the law? Who would like to share that with us? Okay, thank you, Harold. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We'll look primarily at Leviticus today. Numbers is when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And Deuteronomy, what does Deuteronomy mean? Deuto, what does that prefix stand for? Second, yeah. So God gives the second law in right at Moab, right as they're ready to cross into the promised land. So we'll look primarily at those. Okay. So again, what we're trying to do here is piece everything together into one complete story. We do a lot of crossword puzzles at our house. And one day, Dawn and Rachel, our daughter, and Anna, our other daughter, had the dining room table filled with crossword or jigsaw puzzle pieces, and they were poring over those, studying those. The light was on. They were just focusing so hard. And our little granddaughter, Ariel, came in and looked at the puzzle and looked at them and said, "Why don't you just finish it?" And so we still laugh at that. Why don't you just finish it? So what we want to do is we want to now look at the Mosaic Covenant. How does the Mosaic Covenant fit into the whole picture? We want to end up this summer with the puzzle put together. We don't want a bunch of random pieces. We want it all put together. So what I'd like to do is, if you have a handout, I'm going to break us up into the groups. And what I'd like us to do is read the passage, kind of summarize the passage within your group, and then I'll have some questions for you to answer. So that's kind of what I'd, that's kind of our plan. Once you have come up with a couple answers to these questions, I'd like to hear your responses. So we'll get back together and hear from you. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have four groups. And so I'd like this wing right over here to be a group, this wing right here to be a group, this wing right here to be a group, and this wing right here to be a group. Okay? So when I give the word go, here's what I'd like to do. Okay? I'd like group one to take Exodus 19, 1 through 6. Okay? So group one, we'll call you group one. We'd like you to look at Exodus 19, 1 through 6. This group right here, group two, I'd like you to look at Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And again, make sure enough of you have a copy so that you can kind of read it together. This group right here, I'd like you to look at Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. So group three, Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. And this group right here, I'd like you to look at Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. So we'll begin to break up in a little bit. And again, I'd like you to make sure you have copies. Why don't you go ahead and form your groups, and then I'll give you the questions that I'd like you to answer. So take a moment, gather together. Okay, you all have your reading assignment. What I'd like you to do is have someone read that to the group out loud. I have a lot of people come to me and say, man, I'd sure like to, how's a good way that I could serve the body? How could I serve even in Sunday school? You know, a good way to serve is to volunteer. Did you know that? Volunteering is basically serving. So, love to have somebody from each group volunteer to read that. Okay? So, read that aloud. I'd like you to kind of work as a group and summarize the passage, okay? There's a lot of reading here. So, I'd like maybe some folks to kind of work to summarize that. All right? Then, here are the two questions. How does your passage develop the big story begun in Genesis 13, or excuse me, 12, 1 through 3? Okay, that's where God promises Abraham three things. What are they? Blessing and land and a people or a seed. Okay, so how does this fit into now Abraham's covenant, which is now becoming a covenant that God makes with Moses and the people? So how does, in what way does your assigned passage develop the big story begun in Genesis 12, 1 through 3? So that's your first question, your first assignment. Your second one is, what are some characteristics of this new nation that God has outlined in your passage? So we're talking here about a new nation. How does that new nation, how does God want that new nation to look? Okay? What are some characteristics of that new nation? So I'm going to give you about 10 minutes and encourage you to have a volunteer read the passage. Try in your best way to kind of summarize it in a sentence, and then answer those two questions. How does this develop the big story that's already begun with Abraham? And what are some characteristics of this new nation that God has outlined in your passage? So I'll give you 10 minutes or so, and then I would love to have someone from each group report out so that all of us can hear. Okay? So I'll turn you loose and go ahead, read the passage, summarize it, answer the two questions. Okay, why don't you take one more minute, wrap up your conversation, and then also select a spokesperson, and we'd like to hear from each group. So kind of wrap it up, and we'll start with group number one. And also, go ahead and stay in your groups. I know the temptation is to get out of your groups, but go ahead and stay in your groups, and we'll finish with a time of prayer within your group. So, okay. Who would like to be the spokesperson?
You want me to do, just tell them the three things that you have to do?
Yeah.
Wants to read it or anything?
However you want to report out.
Okay. They have.
Okay. Okay. If I could get your attention, please.
Hello.
We're going to hear from group number one to begin with. And normally, Tom doesn't need a microphone, but we gave him a microphone. So we gave group number one Exodus 19, 1 through 6, and if you want to read it real quickly on your own, you can, but what I'd like to learn from group number one is how they felt that this passage helps develop the big story. Okay, so go ahead, Tom, and just kind of summarize what some things that your group came up with.
Well, a summary of the passage, we just thought it was just God himself working, delivering Israel from Egypt to be a people for his own possession. And that really addresses the issue of the big story of God taking and being a covenant-keeping God by blessing the sons and family of Abraham. Because that's why he says really several times here, or at least three times, sons of Israel, house of Jacob, sons of Israel. So he's fulfilling what he promised Abraham, that I'm going to bless you and your descendants in that way. Mm-hmm. So, and then as far as the characteristics of fulfilling that story, really, he says he wants them, one, to obey, he wants you to obey my voice and to keep my covenant. And then he tells them that he wants them to be priestly and holy, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And we talked about the priest's job was to convey God's word to the people. Here's what God says, and here's how you should live. And then the people were to take that by holy living, and then take that good news to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And of course, which Israel did without. They did a perfect job of that, didn't they? No, they failed continually at that. But that's how the promise was fulfilled through the people, and that hasn't changed. He calls us priests as well. And so we're to take God's word and to take it to the world. And that's really the plan that he has in place for Israel in this passage and for us today.
Good, Tom. Thank you, group one. So a covenant was begun with Abraham. Now God has begun filling in the pieces. He does refer to them as the house of Israel. So he's already referring to them as his people. And so already he wants them to be a people who are obedient to him, who are priest-like, who keep the covenant. A covenant is an agreement, a contract, and we're to keep those contracts, aren't we? Okay? He intended for Israel to keep that contract, and to take it to the world, to represent him through the world. So, good job, group one. How about group two? They had Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 17, which is the Ten Commandments primarily. So I'll let one of you report out as to how you summarize this, and then are answering our two big questions.
We would summarize like that. It is the Ten Commandments, the Lord giving Ten Commandments to Moses, and the way it develops the big story in Genesis 12 is the Messiah comes through the line of Abraham, mm-hmm. and through the Messiah, all the nations of the world have been blessed by mm-hmm. salvation. Mm-hmm. So what's happening here with the law is that it shows us that we are sinners. There is a standard to go by. And so the characteristics of this nation are that, first of all, they have the truth. I mean, they're not man-made rules. It is the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And so they have the truth of what's right and wrong. And so also another characteristic is that they're to have no idols. There is just one God. You don't make idols, and you don't make up your own rules. Mm-hmm. There is right and wrong. And so this unique nation stands out from everybody else. And with the law, we can see that we cannot live up to it. We cannot uphold that. And then Jesus comes through this nation as a Jew and provides salvation for everybody who believes.
I liked what you pointed out. This group went back to Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and said, "In you, Abraham, all the nations will be blessed." Well, how are they going to be blessed? Through the nation that God is now establishing. And here are the foundations, kind of like their constitution. He gave those commandments. That is how they were going to be unique and different and basically attractive to the other nations. And so, again, this is how the Ten Commandments fit into the big story, God's big plan of salvation, and the nations will be attractive, just like the Queen of Sheba came from Ethiopia because she heard about Solomon's wisdom and she was not disappointed. So that's how the nations would come to know God, through the nation of Israel. Okay, good. Good job, group two. All right, group three, we assigned them some passages in Deuteronomy. This is now the second giving of the law. And we gave them, this group, Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. So how, Genesee, how did your group kind of summarize this first of all?
Sure. We had good discussion, but we just talked about how they had disobeyed and they had been scattered. Mm-hmm. And so this was the Lord just confirming the covenant he'd made with Abraham of bringing back the blessing, the land, and the descendants. In verse 6, he talks about the promise that we were talking about, that God would circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their descendants, and it talked about no matter how far they were scattered, he would bring them back. But it all kind of boiled down to, we said, if you obey, you prosper, and if you don't, you won't. That kind of was a brief summary of that. Mm-hmm. But that just pointed to the blessing, the land, and the descendants, but he wasn't going to leave them. Some of the characteristics we talked about were that they were regathered, so he did bring them back. And then we talked about, too, even though it specifically said people that were scattered physically, geographically, and we think it also had to do with your heart being away from the Lord. If you turned maybe away from the Lord or lost your walk, and he was going to bring you back. He wasn't going to let you go. And he did change their hearts. And then we had a good point that it talks about he would circumcise your heart. And in the New Testament, It says Jesus would be the one to circumcise our hearts, so it pointed to Jesus also.
Okay.
And it was just, yeah, renewal of the Abraham covenant, and just ended with obey God, because just we're so prone to not do that.
Okay. Some things that I kind of wrote down. The regathering, I appreciate how you came up with that, because at this point, and down through history, they're going to be scattered, aren't they? And God is going to bring them back together. And I like how you correlated that with our hearts. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And so the Lord is going to bring us back to Him. And that promise is embedded in this passage. Also, just think about the wonderful promise that we see starting in verse 6, how God knows that we in and of ourselves cannot obey Him, but what God is going to do is He is going to circumcise our hearts. So our hearts now belong to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And so now, it's not upon us to crank out obedience to Him and love for Him. It's an overflowing of what He's done for us through Christ's death. And so we've been circumcised in our hearts. We have been died with Christ, and we've been raised with Christ. So now we have a new lease on life. We have a new motivation for obeying God, not out of duty, but out of love for Him. So I thought this group really did a nice job of bringing that out. Good job. All right, and then we'll pass the baton, the microphone, on to group 4, and we're going to look now at Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. So we'll begin with our spokesperson, and would you, group 4, kind of summarize what you came up with?
Yeah, so for this passage, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, in verse 15 it says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. To him you shall listen. So to kind of summarize this, what we were kind of talking about is, I mean, it's like the first verse just saying, like, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet, and Moses is the one talking here. So, like, I think it's saying, like Moses, from among the people he's talking to, from your countrymen. And then I kind of think to end it out in verse 19, where it says, and it shall come about that whoever does not listen to my words, in which he speaks in my name, I myself will require it of him. So I think that's kind of the ending statement here, and just that whoever doesn't listen to what Moses is saying, or something like that, I don't know. That's what we got.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, good. A prophet like Moses. So it wasn't Moses, but it's a prophet like Moses. Who would you foresee might be that prophet?
Both Stephen and Peter in some of their sermons in Acts made direct reference to that prophecy or that those verses,
mm-hmm.
instead of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesus was the fulfillment of this particular prophecy here. This is basically a form of a prophecy here, and Jesus would fulfill that in every way, 100%. He nailed it. If he was a gymnast, he would have got a 10. Okay, he did it all. Okay, what are some things, group 4, that you noticed about what this new nation would be like?
From the verse, I think we were kind of saying, like, this new nation would, I don't really know, to be honest. I think we were talking about how, like, back in this time, like people didn't tend to listen like as easily as they do now. So I don't know, like this new nation, like just better people. I don't know.
Well, one thing I heard you say earlier, Andrew, was that these people would now represent God. They would take God's word and pass that on to the people. There would be someone who would basically be the voice of God, and that would be that upcoming prophet that they could look forward to. And Jesus was that person. Jesus said, "I don't say anything that I didn't hear from the Father." That's what he would say in the New Testament, and he delivered to the people anything that he heard from the Lord. And so he fulfilled that prophecy. He nailed it to a T, so good. All right, well, let's just kind of summarize things. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. I'm going to have us close in word of prayer, so don't jump up quite yet. But God made a covenant with Israel. The nation was promised to Abraham to bless all the families of the earth. We're starting to see that now, that this nation is being introduced, and it's going to be a blessing. The intention was for that nation to introduce God to the nations, a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. At the foundation was a set of principles, and that is the Ten Commandments designed to make them holy. They would not be able to obey the covenant until God would change their hearts permanently in the future. We saw that in that first passage from Deuteronomy. And in the future, this is what group four had, a prophet would come in the tradition of Moses through whom God could explain everything. And Peter saw this prophet as Jesus. Okay, so we've kind of covered last week the Abrahamic covenant, this week the Mosaic covenant. Next week we'll cover the Davidic covenant, which will be a lot of fun. Okay, so I'd like you to close in a word of prayer within your group. Maybe one or two volunteers to just close in word of prayer. Let's thank God that we have become part of His family, part of His nation, and that we might be characterized as God intended for us to be characterized to represent Him. So let's close in word of prayer with your little group together, and then you'll be dismissed. I do. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Very much.
I turned it off because I didn't know.
That's good. Okay. That's good.